Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and through the internet deliver it to you. Today's message is part three in a five-part series called The Inn, and the message is specifically entitled Politics and Society. And it is based on Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21, and chapter 2, verses 13 through 18. Let us dive into the Word today. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the message took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother," the angel said. "Stay there till I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, "I called my son out of Egypt." Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based on the wise men's report of the star's first appearance. Herod's brutal action fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A cry was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning. Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are dead. Amen. Today in church, I showed a clip from a film entitled Bonhoeffer, Agent of Grace. And what I would like you to do, I'd like to invite you, if you can, so long as you're not driving or something, I would like to invite you to pause this episode right now, go to the message notes, click on the link to the clip that I showed in church. There's a link there. Click on it, watch the clip, and then come back here and pick up where you left off. Wow, right? You may be wondering why I would show such a clip on the fourth Sunday in Advent. First, let me state, in case you did not pick up on it, again, that this was a clip that came from the movie Bonhoeffer, Agent of Grace, which is a biopic on the life and ministry of Reverend Dr. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a Lutheran pastor and pacifist in Germany, who eventually joined a plot to assassinate Hitler. Yes, you heard me right. A pacifist Lutheran pastor in Germany joined a plot to assassinate Hitler. And this film you can actually watch on, it's definitely on Amazon Prime. I don't know if it's a part of the Prime membership or not, but you can at least rent it for a nominal fee, or you can purchase it. And I would highly recommend the film to you. In fact, I think it is worthy of purchasing and owning and watching. But that film highlights Bonhoeffer's efforts of resistance against Adolf Hitler and the Third Reich. Now, prior to joining an assassination plot, Dietrich, along with other clergy, form what is called the Confessing Church, a church that, in essence, worshipped underground and refused to pledge any oath of allegiance to Hitler or his regime. And you see, this is what Hitler was trying to do. Hitler wanted all of the Protestant churches to unify as a pro-Hitler, pro-Nazi, Protestant Reich church. And Dietrich and some of these other pastors were not having anything to do with that at all. Now, the scene we just watched was a meeting of the Confessing Church. The Confessing Church were meeting in private, and the Gestapo march in. Now, the Gestapo were tasked with silencing any leader, pastor, or otherwise from spreading the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Which teaches us, and you have to understand this, what Hitler really wanted to do was he didn't want anybody having any message that countered what he was teaching to be the truth. And we all know what that was. He didn't want anybody teaching anything that countered what his ideologies were. And so the true gospel of Jesus Christ was not welcome in Germany because it absolutely counters everything that Hitler stood for, everything that the Third Reich stood for. So the Gestapo were tasked with silencing any leader, pastor, or otherwise from spreading the true gospel of Jesus Christ, which teaches us that salvation comes through Christ alone, not Hitler, through Christ alone. And that kind of faith demands of Christians to put their loyalty in Christ and no one else. So how can you swear loyalty to Hitler? How can you pledge allegiance to the Nazi flag and be a Christian? Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, you can't. The Christian message stood opposed to the political and social norms in Hitler's Germany. And, truth be told, if we're going to be honest, the Christian message often stands opposed to politics and society in our time and place as well. This should be no surprise to us. In today's readings, we have two examples that show how politics and society often stand in contrast to God. First, let us look at Joseph. Joseph, if you recall, he is sitting there and Mary comes in and lo and behold, she's pregnant. And she claims she's pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Now, Joseph knows this isn't his kid. He's a faithful Jew. He's following the laws as they should be followed. He's not sleeping with Mary. He would never break the laws. They were betrothed and they were to wait to bed together until they were married. They were supposed to be separate until they were married. So he knew it wasn't his child. And you have to understand, it's a hard pill to swallow when someone comes and tells you, yeah, I'm pregnant, and it was the Holy Spirit that caused me to be pregnant. What? Really? So Joseph was going to quietly break off his engagement with Mary. He didn't want to disgrace her publicly. And by disgracing her publicly, that would have meant him calling her out to the rest of the community saying, she's pregnant, she cheated on me, that's not my child. And that, my friends, would have probably costed Mary her life, and it would have shamed Mary's entire family. So he wasn't going to do that. Joseph isn't an evil guy, but how can he believe that this baby isn't the product of another man? So he was definitely going to break off the engagement. Why? Because per society, per the social and religious norms of his day, if he claimed the baby as his own, her shame would be on him as well. To take the child in would be to claim that he and Mary got a little too intimate before marriage, which was a no-no. He couldn't do that. He couldn't bring shame upon his family and himself when he knew it wasn't his baby. And then there's Herod, who was not willing to share his power and authority with anyone. He had a hard enough time sharing his palace with his own family. He had some of his sons murdered. He had his wife murdered. He wasn't willing to share his power and authority with anyone, let alone a working child, a working class child. So So Herod opts to kill every child 2 years old and under in order to ensure that no one else but him and his sons had claim to the throne. Sisters and brothers, in the social and political world of first century Judea, there was no room for Jesus. There was no room in Nazareth for a prematurely pregnant mother or her scandalous fatherless child any more than there was room in Herod's palace. In politics and society, there is no room at any inn for the Christ who commands our faithfulness and loyalty to him and no one else. So I want you to think about this. In Nazareth, there was absolutely no room for Mary, who was pregnant, or her child, her bastard child, right? Any more than there was room in Herod's palace. And in politics, there was no room for a second king when a king was already ruling. Herod, his idea was, I'm king. And maybe one of my children will survive me to be king. Jesus, he's not king. That's not going to happen over my dead body. Friends, in politics and society, there is no room at any inn for Christ. Do you see what I'm saying here? Because Christ commands our faithfulness and loyalty to him and no one else. Like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, though our times and challenges are different, we are being given a choice of allegiance. Will we choose to pledge our allegiance to political leaders and their worldviews, and to our society and its norms? Or will we, like Bonhoeffer, will we cut down the flag, so to speak, and follow no one and nothing else but our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at all costs? My friends, as we approach Christ's arrival, let us dedicate our hearts solely to him who died and rose again and is Lord of all. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you are God. You are the one who is worthy of our allegiance and no one else. You, O Lord, who came down as the Christ, who calmed the seas with your hands, who raised the dead to life, who conquered death and gives us life abundant. You are the one who is worthy. Not because we say you are, but because of who you are. And Lord, I pray that each and every one of us makes room in our hearts for you. That we turn away from what politics and society tell us and we turn to your gospel truth. That all are created equal in your image. And that we are all one in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that we are to follow him at all costs. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I want to thank you for tuning in and joining me for the third part of this five-part series called The Inn. Again, today's message was entitled Politics and Society, and I hope it challenged you to think a little more deeply around what it means to make room for Jesus at the inn of your heart. And so I would like to point you to Life-Giving Water Message, lifegivingwatermsg.org, which is the website for this podcast. I'd also like to point you to Life-Giving Water Devo, Life-Giving Water D-E, V as in victory, O as in orange.org, which is my bi-weekly devotions. They come out twice a week and they are free for you to make use of and to hopefully be fed by. And I would also love for you to check out the Party on John cast at partyonjohn.org, where the most rockin' chaplain ever, Sal Sermarco, and myself opine on a whole bunch of things, including our opinions on the coffee or whatever we're drinking, and our opinions on most excellent music, and also on a whole host of different theological topics. So you're more than welcome to come and check that out. In the meantime, my friends, I just want to wish you a Merry Christmas, and stay tuned for tomorrow, because tomorrow the next part in this series will be released on Christmas Eve. So check it out. In the meantime, be blessed, because we are called to be a blessing to others. Go in peace.